touchdown Buffalo. Emmanuel Sanders fires it downfield. Dawson Knox makes a catch, cruises into the end zone. Holy mackerel.
The second consecutive drive ends in an interception.
Been a rough night.
Gonna throw it into the end zone. Emmanuel Sanders, touchdown Bills.
Four takeaways tonight for the Buffalo Bills.
We don't lose football games like that, especially at home. This is one you're gonna remember.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Windows 11. Monday Night Football coming your way with the Ravens and the Colts. We'll get to that later, as we'll have a live report in just moments. But Josh Allen finally did it, guys. He beat the Chiefs. More on Bills Chiefs coming soon. Plus, the reason here some people feel better about the Bengals than the Packers after yesterday. Nina Kimes, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Adam Schefter will be with you shortly. Guys, let's roll with some Sunday standouts from Week 5 as it's coming to a close tonight. Dan, you get to start.
My Sunday standout is Tom Brady. This 44-year-old went 31 of 40 yesterday for 411 yards and 5 touchdowns. And now that's not actually the thing that impressed me the most. He made 4 throws while getting hit by other people in his chest, feet off balance or off platform, that are not notorious to his game. He was spectacular, and we're kind of seeing a little different version of a guy making those throws under duress. He was spectacular.
So it was a big win for the Pittsburgh Steelers and a big day for first-round running back Najee Harris. This felt like the game we were waiting for, 122 yards on the ground, breaking tackles. But what really jumped out to me, and this is a credit to the entire team, was how good the run blocking was, which was something we were really waiting for in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure Najee has been waiting for, and really gives you some hope for the future for an offense that's looked pretty depressing so far.
Yeah, they say you don't need a run game, Mina, but it does show help. Listen, Austin Eckler, man. Look, I know Justin Herbert is the talk of the town and the toast, but this running back has been so impressive to me in between the tackles. The physicality, and I think people look at Austin Eckler's stature and they don't think of him as a guy that can get in between the tackles, but he has physical punishing runs. Good job, man.
Back to Sunday night, the Bills beat the Chiefs 38-20, and Josh Allen had his second game this season with 250 pass yards and rush yards on fire. But the other side of this is what's going on with the Chiefs. Through Week 5, the Chiefs are tied with the Jaguars for the most turnovers in the NFL, have allowed the most points per game and second most yards per game. It's a tale of two quarterbacks last night, right? With Josh Allen shining, Patrick Mahomes struggling, something that you didn't really expect. In fact, Allen averaged over 12 yards per pass attempt, the best mark of a game in his career. On the other side, Mahomes averaging just 5 yards per attempt, his lowest average in a game of his career. Here's what Mahomes had to say after the loss.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with me. I mean, I think 3 of them were on me. I mean, the interceptions and then the fumble at the end of the game. And so I have to correct that. I have to be better. It's something that I've not usually done in my career, but I have to reevaluate where I'm at, what decisions I'm making. I've been kind of a crazier player as far as scrambling and making throws, but in my career I've never been someone to throw a lot of interceptions. And so I kind of have to look at it now and go back and reevaluate what I'm doing and try to – I have to cut it out.
So much maturity from him. And, Dan, you heard him say there he's going to reevaluate himself. But what stood out to you about the difference we saw in both his performance but also in the Bills?
Yeah, I'd say for Patrick, watch the game and then rewatch the game. And it looks like a quarterback that's trying to score 21 points every play because he knows his defense is really bad. And you can see, like, the pressure that he feels of, I got to try and go be perfect. Because there were some completions out there, and you're like, why are you forcing it there? Why are you forcing it there? You haven't done that all year. Yeah. And so that's the thing for me. It's like the pressure to try and score so many points because he knows he's got to score 40 to have a chance. Now, the Bills defense, they played in that too high shell, and we heard it all night of too high, too high, too high. And I want people at home to understand it's not like too high and there's easy completions. They're also doing a great job of keeping him in front. You know, making sure that he was never able to break the pocket. But look at the mirroring of those defensive linemen. Marcus, you know that. And then the sticky coverage. But the two-high zone wasn't just, hey, drop back in zone. It's really like a two-high Tampa 2, but we're then going to match. Or quarters match. Or catch. You know, I said there wasn't a lot of space between the receivers and the Bills defenders. And so while it is zone, it wasn't like there were a ton of easy completions, and that's the thing that the Bills did a nice job of defensively. They weren't going to expose themselves to a ton of man, but they also weren't going to give a lot of easy stuff to the Chiefs and Patrick with completions.
I am so glad you said that, because I felt like, I don't want to say the narrative, but there was – a bit of a storyline coming out of last night. Oh, playing the Chiefs, play too high.
Right.
Just sit back. And,
exactly.
And first of all, that playbook has been out there for 2 years now.
Right.
You've seen defenses take that approach towards trying to stop the Chiefs. But the way the Bills did it stuck out to me for a number of reasons, one of which was the sticky coverage, especially on third down. They were playing a ton of man.
Yes.
And you saw from the broadcast angle Patrick Mahomes running around. What you didn't see was that nobody was open because the quarterbacks and safeties were all over them in their hip pockets. And then, of course, up front, as you mentioned, you can sit back, but you got to be able to either get home with the four-man rush or set the edge. And the Bills did a spectacular job up front. I was really impressed by not only the rookie pass rushers. Gregory Rousseau, of course, had the big play, also Boogie Basham, but the ageless Jerry Hughes, who continues to show up. And I just want to say this. Coming into this game, I wasn't skeptical about the Bills' defense, but I thought the competition was relevant.
Yeah.
And it made me question, okay, is this really an elite unit? I don't question that anymore. I think this is one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, the Chiefs got to read the room, y'all. And listening to both of y'all talk about this, obviously – It's truth and validity to the way people have discovered how we want to play the Chiefs. But the Chiefs have not rediscovered themselves. Mm. Think about the conversation we had with the Buffalo Bills last year.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all know I was screaming, they need to get Zach Moss involved.
Mm-hmm,
they
right.
need to get this run because you have to have answers.
Right. Right.
Why are we so high on the Cowboys? However you want to play, we can play that way.
Yes.
And I think the Chiefs are lacking in that area when it comes to your point, running them out of that too high. Also, having the ability to calm Patrick Mahomes down from trying to be too much. Right? We become so enamored with his magnificent play and the things he's done in his career. But the reason I say read the room, Buffalo watched that for 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? The Chargers watched that for 3 years. Your division watched that for 3 years. How long did y'all think that these teams were going to stand idly by and allow you to continue and continue? And then when you look at this defense, it's not enough when you're turning the football over. Last in turnovers, last in points per game, last in opposing yards with their opponents. So you give me Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders, you have no shot when you turn the football off.
I want to touch on something that you kind of hit on when you're playing, the teams are playing the Chiefs in that too high defense, right? They need to realize the only thing that they can do. Now, I'm not talking when they're playing the Eagles, in all due respect. When you're playing teams that are legit on defense, you got to run them out of it. And that's the kind of thing that you said is you got to, and I would love to see the Chiefs next time put both their tight ends on the field, put Patrick under center and go, you know, because you talk, the Bills have kind of changed the way that they play offensively versus teams. And it feels like the Chiefs haven't done that yet. You got to run teams out of it. And then, you know, when we're talking about the Bills' defense, I will say the thing that helps them play that shell defense, they're giving up 3.7 yards per carry when they play zone defense. Their front four, you know, it's easy to go, our front four will stop the run.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's something that the Chiefs have really got to be critical about when it comes to themselves.
What do you mean run them out of it, though?
They
are asking you to run. They are saying, here you go,
and
Kansas City.
And it can't just be, we're still going to live in shotgun RPO.
Boom,
you know,
got it. Yes.
There's a little bit of that. But there's got to be of the mindset, the Brandon Staley mindset, and hopefully everyone paid attention to last week. We are going to go out and be physical and challenge you to tackle us, so you have to get the extra guy down.
How would you rank the teams in the AFC now?
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
Bills won. I'll start there. We'll talk about, after tonight, we'll see where the Ravens fall. Right now, I would say it's between the Ravens, the Chargers, probably for that two spot.
It's remarkable that the Ravens are in the conversation, by the way.
Right, considering their injuries.
Yeah.
All right,
I think the Chargers have to be at 2, though. I think they have to.
Yeah, okay. Revisit. You agree?
They just held the Chiefs to 20 points.
Yeah, all right. So let's check in at the Domino's pregame headquarters with Lisa Salters ahead of tonight's Monday Night Football matchup between those Ravens we're just talking about and the Colts. Lisa, usually a 5-yard run on the final play of the game isn't very important, right? But last week we had one that was because Baltimore needed it to tie an NFL record of 43 consecutive games with at least 100 yards rushing set by the 1970 Steelers. It was a play that raised a few eyebrows and Vic Fangio's blood pressure. What are the Ravens saying about that play and what it sets up them for tonight?
Yeah, Laura, this is how it went down. Lamar Jackson said he didn't even know about the streak until last week when Broncos head coach Vic Fangio got so upset when Baltimore called a run play with 3 seconds left instead of taking a knee. And he did that just to extend that streak. Ravens offensive coordinator Greg Roman said he realized late in the game that they were just three rushing yards short of 100. So he started asking his offensive players, particularly the linemen, if we get the ball back, do you want to go for this? And he said they all had the same response. Heck yeah. So with 100 yards on the ground tonight, the Ravens will set a new NFL record of 44 consecutive games. The streak began when Lamar Jackson took over as the starter back in week 11 of 2018, and he's led Baltimore's ground attack since then. But Jackson told us, it's not about me. This streak is about us as a unit, our whole offense. And Jackson said it would definitely be cool to break that record tonight and have everyone on our offense as part of the record book.
Yeah, Laura, it's something to watch for sure. And Lisa, I guess on the other side, no defense likes to be the one to surrender a record to an opposing offense. Yeah. Are the Colts saying anything about shutting down the Ravens' 100-yard rushing party tonight?
Yeah, well, Lamar Jackson may not have been aware of the rushing streak last week, but the Colts certainly know about it this week. We asked linebacker Darius Leonard if his defense wants to be the team to keep Baltimore from breaking the record. He said, I'm a defender. What do you think? Leonard said that the goal every week, of course, is to stop the run like they did in last week's win over the Dolphins, holding Miami to just 35 rushing yards. But Leonard also said that Baltimore's rushing streak isn't the focus. It's not going to be the focus tonight. He said they can get 1,000 rushing yards as long as we get the W. But a key piece of the Colts' run defense will be out tonight. Rookie defensive end Kwity Paye will miss his second consecutive game, Laura, because of a hamstring injury.
Oh, man, as you said that, Lisa, everyone's face here kind of went, ooh, something to definitely watch out for tonight as we see you on Monday Night Football with the guys. Well, that's coming up in about 4 hours, a little bit less than that, actually. Thanks, Lisa, for joining us here. We got a whole lot more coming your way on this Monday on NFL Live. How about them Cowboys again? We're talking about another week of consistency out of the Cowboys. That'll make Marcus Spears clear his throat. What made Dak's performance MVP worthy? That's for Swagoo. Plus, coming up later on NFL Live, we're talking about the craziest fourth quarter inning we've seen in some time. How someone on our crew found the perfect word to describe Justin Herbert. Adam Schefter on the other side of this break, and Pregame HQ is brought to you by Domino's. Order something for everyone with Domino's Mix and Match menu. Order online and track your order.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NFL Live is presented by Windows 11. Brings you closer to what you love. NFL Primetime back for another season with Boomer and Booger. It's Sundays at 7:30 Eastern only on ESPN+. The show's also available Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That means you can watch it anytime you want on any device you choose. Let's get the latest on injuries around the league with Adam Schefter, who is there. Actually, he's not in Baltimore. Thought he was. He's at the Seaport. Anyway, Adam, what's the latest out of Pittsburgh when it comes to injuries?
Laura, Juju Smith-Schuster dislocated his shoulder during yesterday's win over the Denver Broncos. He's going to undergo surgery later this week that's expected to sideline him about 4 months, which in all probability will end his season, which means the Pittsburgh Steelers lose one of Ben Roethlisberger's most reliable targets. Juju Smith-Schuster looks like he will not play again this season. As for the Kansas City Chiefs, they suffered a handful of injuries last night. Tyreek Hill, minor knee injury, should not miss any time. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, sprained MCL, should miss a few weeks. We'll see how that works out with him. But Darrell Williams would figure to be the replacement in the backfield. But the good news for them is that it doesn't look like Tyreek Hill will miss any time. And Joe Thuney, the offensive lineman, fractured his hand. And the Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, running back Saquon Barkley, both injured. Saquon Barkley sprained his left ankle on this play right here. You saw his foot turn at a weird angle. He was carted off in the second quarter. Daniel Jones then left with a concussion that he may have gotten on that hit or when he hit the ground. The fact of the matter is Jones remains in protocol, concussion protocol, and Barkley's likely to miss some time. The question is how much and that'll be determined by more tests and how quickly he recovers.
Yeah, I got to say, I think a lot of people, just fans of Saquon Barkley, breathed a little sigh of relief hearing that it wasn't as bad as maybe it looked in the moment. Thanks to Adam, we got more from him a little bit later on in the show. Marcus, you just heard Adam's injury report about the Giants, but yeah. Something stood out to you about Daniel Jones and that hit on him. What was that?
Yeah, well, I mean, y'all know how I talk about the code in the NFL a lot, like the respect for guys' livelihood. And I thought it was a great gesture that Kurtz made after Daniel Jones was concussed. You see here Jabril Cox making a tackle, a really good tackle. And it was just an unfortunate situation for DJ because he's been playing well. But you see the brotherhood. There's a brotherhood in this league. And everybody doesn't abide by it. But when we see these things, I think it's important for us to point them out about taking care of each other. I've been on the field when guys get injured. And when you see it happen, and it immediately goes into, you don't want to see anybody's livelihood be affected in playing the game that we love. So I just thought that was something to point out, because we talk so often about things that happen wrong in the NFL. That's something that's really, really good about the game.
It was tough to see from Daniel Jones, but definitely classy by Kurtz. And, Mina, those injuries played a part in what the Giants did. But if you think about what the Cowboys were able to do, and especially the offense, what did they do specifically this week that impressed you? Because, like, there's something different every week,
The same thing that they've been doing all season. I mean, I'm watching that show, Squid Game, that everyone's watching. I feel like no one here is watching it.
We're going to talk about it.
The thing is, when I watch it, half the time my eyes are like this because it's so terrifying and violent. That is how opposing fans must feel watching the Cowboys' offense.
Only you, man.
It is violent. It is terrifying.
Unstoppable
killing machine. I mean, I don't know. What else can we say about this offense? They beat you every kind of way. This week, especially, what jumped out was how dang good Dak Prescott was on third down. Best in the NFL of any of the quarterbacks this weekend. And just look at these stats. Okay, QBR, for anyone who doesn't know, that's a 0 to 100 scale. 99.7 on third down.
So the highest you can get is 100?
Yes. Bananas. I mean, he's been playing so well, lights out every week, taking what defenses have been giving him, beating them. Oh, okay, you want me to throw deep this week? He threw deep a bit more. Great. You want me to go quick game? Great. You want me to run the ball? Great. We can do that. I don't know what else to say at this point, Marcus. I don't know why you don't have a bigger smile, frankly.
I mean, I'm just waiting on Dan.
Well, I mean, I didn't know. So so he's 99.7, and then perfection would be 100.
This weekend.
It would be perfection.
Pretty good.
He's 0.3 away.
All right, so I love the fact that you hinted the third down, because the third down that stood out to me, it's because they're kind of – they sweat the small stuff, so to speak, offensively. So the center gets the line of scrimmage, and he's got to declare a mic. Hey, I got the four defensive linemen, and I want that middle linebacker. Now, this is where Dak is right now. Check that. I want you guys to go to the linebacker on the right. Dak is starting to declare it. I want the four defensive linemen. I think that guy's going to be a blitzer. Why does that matter? Because now the back doesn't have to block him. And the back could be a helper just in case somebody does potentially get beat. That's exactly what the back does right there. Catches that looper. That extra a third of a second allows an absolutely perfect throw on third and eight on the go route to CeeDee Lamb. But that's sweating the small stuff. You know, here's because the truth is, if Dak had left the original point, that Mike linebacker, the back would have blocked the linebacker, and it may have worked out, but he also may have had to throw like this, or the ball's not perfect and allows the safety to get over. And so that's like those small things that show up. I will say this, the two things that the Cowboys do, so impressive yesterday, is when they pull people on offense, they're the Cleveland Browns. They're that good.
Yeah.
And then when they put those five cats across the line of scrimmage on defense and they force you to figure it out, who's coming, where are all the one-on-ones, they are
what
hard.
What is the thing they don't do well on offense?
Yeah. Let's make you figure that out.
What is the thing that they – if you had to identify one weakness on this offense?
On offense?
Camera, zoom in on this silly smile.
I mean, I'm trying.
The smile's getting bigger.
Y'all, I'm actually trying. I can't.
I think you can get. I think you can have success with change pressures. Minimal success.
Well, of course Dan has something.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah. Anything else that you want to say about the Cowboys?
Yeah. Listen, I'm so impressed with the physicality, y'all.
On
a serious note, like, we think about the Cowboys, and last year we drubbed them. We talked about the injuries, how bad the defense was. But the way they are attacking the football from a defensive standpoint. And look, I know we are enamored with the takeaways. That is not coincidental. This is flying around. And yes, the one concern I have is they give up explosive plays. like a little bit too much for my comfort.
On defense.
But on defense. But ultimately, the how fast they're playing and the understanding of what they're doing is putting them in great positions to make plays, and it's turning out to be good for them. This team is for real, man.
Yeah,
is for real.
If a computer could smile, it might be FPI smiling down on the Cowboys because they now say that the Cowboys have a 91% chance to win the NFC.
Conveniently.
Not an accident. He's wearing
else.
Cowboy blue. We were talking about Dak Prescott. He certainly showed the fighting spirit against the Giants 1 year after suffering that devastating leg injury against them. Prescott said he was in a fog early in the game and really wasn't trying to think about it, but once he threw that 49-yard touchdown to CeeDee Lamb, he got rolling a little bit, throwing for three touchdowns and 302 yards. Boy, did he ever get rolling. That's beautiful.
He came back, too, from a tough first quarter, too.
Yeah, I could watch that. I love it when it just drops right in the basket like that. So does CeeDee Lamb. All right, coming up on NFL Live. Hey, you thought extra points were a given? Well, think again.
Kickers.
Oh, Lord.
Kickers.
No. Oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
Crosby can't believe it either. It hits the upright and is no good.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Does anybody want to win this football game?
And it is no good.
He missed it to the left.
A nightmarish day for Mason Crosby.
Fighting Spirit Moment is brought to you by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
You messing with the king. You're under my reign, too.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Windows 11.
I'm Malika Andrews, and NBA Today will be live from Los Angeles beginning October 18th.
That's good. LeBron James from downtown.
I'm already thinking about how can I do it again.
Just go with it. Just go with it.
NBA Today is your new home for the NBA on ESPN.
Can't wait for NBA Today. Plus, how about this? Adidas and ESPN have teamed up to release retro-themed top 10 sneaker. Now you can get a pair of these new classic Adidas top 10 high. Head over to the SportsCenter Instagram right now for your chance to win a pair. Now look, we've got some in studio here. Oh, I keep like getting into the picture there because I just want to get closer to the shoes.
Those
I'm not sure. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, it's
we're
gangster.
Being models.
We models.
Oh, but you're model. Okay, so you're modeling with the shoes?
Yeah, you're the only model you would ever be as a shoe model.
Are you saying that have those shoes?
Wow.
Hey.
All right. Go ahead.
You're learning.
That was weird.
You're learning.
So this got us thinking about some top 10 plays from yesterday. Yeah. There were some great ones since we got our top 10 Adidas here. Mina, you get to go first. What stuck out to you as a top 10 play from yesterday?
Kyle Pitts.
Let's
finally.
Go. Let's go.
Falcons fans have been waiting for this. Unfortunately, took Calvin Ridley being out. I mean, just unreal hands on the rookie. Matt Ryan, the connection's already there. Falcons. He looks like he did in college, right? It'd be nice to see him get some more targets. I realize it's the Jets, but I'm telling you, some of his catches were tightly covered. Yeah. The hands.
The deep voice.
Deep voice hands.
Who's this?
Sam Wilson, listen, man, this is crazy good. The concentration, the ability to stay in bounds, Dak throwing a seed where only his guy can catch it. But, hey, everybody, America, if number one Cedric Wilson played for the Kansas City Chiefs, he would be their absolute number two receiver.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Mm. Well, how about this? I'm picking Kadarius Toney and this unbelievable catch down the sideline. So pretty. Stayed in bounds. Also, go Gators.
To? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, he went to Florida. We've got a couple Florida players already in this one. Must be something about that Gators swamp action. Anyway, Kadarius Toney is so versatile, Dan.
Could you imagine making this catch, though? Rondale Moore doesn't have to because he did. I have no idea. I mean, this is the hand-eye coordination. Look at his eyes. Look at his eyes. Track the ball, but get both his feet in. Rondale Moore with the catch of the year for me so far. Unbelievable.
When you see the close-up on the feet frozen like that. All right, let's look at the shoes one more time. Because why not? Smell them.
Those
really didn't want to smell because no one's worn them.
Who did he smell?
Size 14 and a half.
In the 15.
Did they smell good?
Anybody?
You're going to squeeze your foot in that 13.
Somebody.
All right. I could look at this all day, but let's get to our not top 10 because there's a nominee from the Bengals-Packers with a combined five missed field goals in the last 3 minutes of regulation and overtime before Mason Crosby finally made a 49-yarder in overtime to give the Packers a 25-22 win over the Bengals. This is just wild, guys.
Come on.
We were like, man, this must be historic. Well, it was. Sunday's game between the Packers and Bengals marked the first since the 1970 merger that two teams combined to miss five field goals in the fourth quarter in overtime, and all of them were go-ahead attempts. I almost said offenses because it was kind of offensive.
It was offensive.
Mina, I know this wouldn't hurt you because you are a fan of kickers in general, but let's just get past that because despite all the drama with the kickers, there was a lot going on in this game. What was your biggest takeaway from what was a close game between the Bengals and the Packers?
I'm a fan of Justin Tucker, not kickers in general.
Okay, excuse me. I misspoke.
Let's get that right.
Yeah, so this was, first of all, my biggest takeaway was that the Bengals should have won this, and my colleagues will get to that. From the Packers' point of view, I mean, their approach to offense is basically build the entire plane out of Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
And it worked. And the thing is, that's kind of been the offense a lot of this season. It's been this endless question with the Packers. Do they have a reliable number two? Can it be Robert Tonyan, perhaps, or Alan Lazard? But in this game in particular, I mean, Adams was targeted on like 50% of Rodgers' passes. In fact, the entire season across the NFL, he leads all wide receivers in target share. I think Cooper Kupp is second after him. And this is why this is so incredible to me. Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
Everybody at home knows this. Everybody on the opposing defense knows the ball is
they
going
were doubling
to 17.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you say, okay, you should leave Devontae Adams. He's open. He's not open.
Right.
Yeah.
He's being doubled. You see safeties cheating over to him.
Yeah.
He's getting jammed. At times, when Chidobe Awuzie in particular was covering him, he was covering him in tight.
It's good defense.
Yeah, and sticky. It doesn't matter
with
Devontae Adams. And to me, that's what really stood out about the Packers' performance. It was like, all right, throw the ball to 17.
Yeah, I would say the 3rd and 16 that he has the completion, Rodgers to Randall Cobb, is one of the best throws I've ever seen him make. Seen him make 100 of. That's the best throw I've ever seen you make, Aaron. Honestly, though.
Is he watching? You talking to him? You're like addressing him?
I walked away from that game feeling better about Cincinnati than I did Green Bay. That's my honest take. I think Cincinnati was the better team on the field. Even on that 3rd and 16 completion, they do everything right. They demand a perfect throw to be made. I thought they ran the ball well. Joe Mixon had some chunk runs. Joe Burrow was unbelievable outside of one or two decisions. Ja'Marr Chase was the second best player on the field, outside of Rodgers and Devontae. I just think if you're Cincinnati, there's a part of you that is, you know, really encouraged by your performance. Because you have proven, you know, to everybody, you're real.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of you that is a little bit sick to your stomach because, to your point, like, they should have won the football game.
They bowed up and held them to field goals.
Bowed up, correct, and defense.
Which is a credit to them. It's kickers, man.
It's funny how the narrative is transitioning between Herbert and Joe Burrow.
Huh.
And Justin Herbert was on this side of things last year with the Chargers. We talked about this
losing
team is good.
Game,
losing close games, seven games in total of 20-something points. And when you look at Cincinnati and the way that they're playing, it's two things that I like.
Okay.
I like P. Ryan and Mixon as a dual back system. They can be physical at the line of scrimmage. Your boy Trey Hendrickson playing well, coming off the edge.
Yeah.
But Joe Burrow, man, and Ja'Marr Chase, and this report, because we talked about before the draft, they need an offensive lineman. They need guys to protect Joe Burrow.
How is that guy?
I got to give Zach Taylor a little bit of credit as well for being multiple and allowing Joe Burrow to be actually who he is.
Yeah.
He can identify things at the line of scrimmage. He can change plays. His deep ball accuracy is – and what's so great about it is he acknowledged – I need to get better on the deep ball this year. Mm-hmm. And it's something that he's made a point to get better at and doing well.
Hey, one word answer, Burrow or Herbert right now?
What the heck, Rutledge?
Sorry.
Herbert. That's changed for me.
Herbert, I can't. After yesterday, I can't.
It's Herbert, but Bengals fans, we are optimistic about the future of your team, so don't get mad at us.
Yeah, I meant right now, so it's fine.
Like
we'll answer that tomorrow and see if it changes.
Watching the Bengals feels good.
Yeah. Hey, there's so much more coming your way on NFL Live. The Colts are headed to Baltimore to take on the Ravens tonight. We're picking the game next. Marcus just changed his mind. He picked Burrow. Does Carson Wentz superfan Dan pick the Colts or Ravens? That's next. Shefty's back, too.
Oh, man, he's still playing.
You're watching NFL Live presented by Windows 11.
Windows.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
It's all coming your way tonight on ESPN. You see a live look at M&T Bank Stadium there. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens against Carson Wentz and the Colts. 8 Eastern on ESPN. ESPN Deportes is in the ESPN app. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. Hey, each week, ESPN and the NFL spotlight the High School Coach of the Week. The Baltimore Ravens have selected Damian Ferragamo from Kent Island High School in Stinsonville, Maryland. Coach Ferragamo is in his sixth season as head coach of the Kent Island Bucks and recently secured his 100th victory as head coach. So congratulations to Coach Ferragamo for being the High School Coach of the Week. Hey, let's check back in with Adam Schefter ahead of tonight's Monday Night Football game. Adam, it was a wild start to the season for the Ravens and their running backs with injury. What are you hearing about that group now, though?
What's interesting, Laura, is that the Ravens, who had to scramble to sign running backs after they lost J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Justice Hill to season-ending injuries, have gotten inquiries within the last week about other teams interested in trading for one of their running backs, which really tells you how quickly and how well the Ravens have been able to patch together a backfield in light of all those injuries, that some of their players are now in demand elsewhere. Now, we'll see whether or not they make a deal. Who knows if it ends up happening, but going into tonight's game, the Baltimore Ravens did not activate Le'Veon Bell off the practice squad, so he will not play tonight, which means Tyson Williams could get another chance tonight. They'll lean on Devonta Freeman and, of course, they'll lean on Latavius Murray. And the team also activated Miles Boykin, the former wide receiver, off the injury reserve list. So he'll be playing tonight for the first time this season.
Yeah, it's interesting, Adam, as you were saying that, Mina said, well, I hope those other teams know that they don't get the Ravens run game with those running backs. And to that point, the Ravens running backs rank 7th in the league in yards per rush. Thanks to Adam. We'll see you on Monday Night Countdown. All right, let's pick tonight's game. Dan, we're all going with the Ravens to win. So we had to ask you, are you going with Carson Wentz and the Colts, or are you taking the Ravens? It's got to be a little tough for you.
I'm going to take the Ravens. I think the Colts offensive line issues, you know, their whole right side essentially out is going to be an issue. This defensive line, the pressure package for Baltimore started to pick up a little bit. Maybe not as much pressure with man, but zone pressures. The rushers should have, if the Colts aren't successful on first down and they get into a second and third obvious passing down situation, this would be a long night for Carson Wentz. So I think the Ravens win the game.
Okay, ESPN's Football Power Index agrees with us. They give Baltimore a 67% chance to win the game tonight. We'll see who's smart and we'll see who's not. All right, Marcus, you want to tell everybody what's coming up next?
Y'all know today is Monday, and y'all know what we do on Monday. Hashtag BMB, big man balling, throw me my football. I got some extra juice for y'all today.
Get a towel.
I can't wait to show you who made BMB, and it might be a little surprise.
Oh, hey, let's get the towel ready right now. I can already feel we might need it. Game Picks is brought to you by T-Mobile. With nationwide 5G coverage, T-Mobile keeps you in the game coast to coast with Monday Night Pick'em on the ESPN Fantasy app. T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL Live is presented by Windows 11, brings you closer to what you love.
Previously on Countdown.
Yes, I'd like to keep my job.
okay, Justin Fields is the starter.
Our own Adam Schefter pulled it off with relative ease.
I didn't mention it looking like an unathletic, weak chin, no ass.
Mike looks a little sharper than his.
That's the ring. You got a nice chin, brother.
Since we're comparing.
Never heard anything about my chin ever.
He thought it was his.
You got mom.
Start your Sunday with us, live from New York at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Y'all know what time it is.
Oh, it's the best segment on television.
It's the time to show the big fellas that's balling out on Sunday.
Oh, stand up! Let's go!
Boom! Get off your feet, bro. Dump him on his head, big fella.
Tiny violin.
No, sir, you cannot pass go. Big man, touchdown. Peace. Nobody catch it. Shout out to the double X, triple XL fellas. I remember when I used to do that. You made big man balling, big dog.
We balling.
Yo, listen. In full transparency, I'm going to try these stairs because big men be balling. So I got to show some athleticism. Yeah. And let me get to this damn screen because they did it again for me this week, y'all. Let's start with the man, Russo. Hey, Dio, you told me about him. And I think somebody did a demo on the show called NFL Live last week that talked about RPO, getting your hands up and picking the football off. That's a great play, young fella. And by the way, Gregory Russo has been showing up on film time and time again. The Buffalo Bills, I think, have a four-man rush that can get them the big trophy, the Lombardi. Shout out to Greg Russo for getting it done. My man DJ Jones, when I see a pass rush by the big fella, I get excited. Chop the hand down, throw him, and go get Kyler Murray. It ain't no way an over 330-pound man supposed to be able to sack Kyler Murray, but that's damn sure what DJ Jones did and got his guy out the way. There's another thing that you got to look for when the big fellas are moving. We can fly. Did you see him fly? And last but not least, my man Khalil Mack. Hey, y'all, he's resurging. He's turning into the guy. We all know that was worth $100 million. This is what? Get off my D-tackle. Go get Derek Carr. Derek Carr was like, there's no chance in hell I'm getting away from him on this rep. So let me go ahead and fold up and take this sack. But Khalil Mack wasn't done. Khalil Mack remembered John Gruden traded him, him and Amari Cooper. He remembered all of that. So you know what he did? He went and got it again. When you have a piece of cake, you want another piece of cake. And y'all know I know because I carb load.
Hey, you haven't eaten a carb all day, though.
Not all day.
I thought you were cutting carbs and sugar.
I am. I got to go protein veggies.
No weights, no gains.
The thing is, how do you stay a big man if you're not going to eat any carbs? I got your tissue here. All right. Let me just tell you, we've got an extra big man balling today that we wanted to bring in here. And this one's extra special for the Swagoo fam. Let's roll the tape. Oh, wow.
I got napkin on my head. I'm so, look at my son. We eat. He said, Dad, I want to play football.
Junior.
I said, no, not yet. Go to the quarterback, big fella. We run down here. Flint Hill Middle School, shout out to the Flint Hill football team. A lot of kids working hard, but I got one, y'all, and he hunting.
That's a middle schooler?
How old is Junior?
He's 12.
Hey, listen.
That is not a 12-year-old.
If that's my kid playing quarterback, I'm having words with you.
Hey, do we have time to run that back? I just want to see my son on ESPN one more time.
Please. June, let's see him again.
June, what's up?
Stop doing this.
June, daddy got you, man. I told you I was going to show you up national attention. There you go. Marcus Spears Jr. with the Rip Club. Go get the quarterback, Bugger. That's my son's nickname. That's what I call him, Bugger. Go and get it. Watch this. Right. Look at the speed. Stick your foot in the ground. Oh, get flat. Hey. D.O., you know I've been teaching you how to get flat down the line and cut him off at the ankle.
Nick Saban's on the phone right now. Yeah, Nick Saban's on the phone. And that was, you just saw on the top of the screen there, big man's little man.
Little man.
That's my special guy. And that's what we love to do here on NFL
really
Live.
Cool. That's really cool.
Appreciate it, y'all.
Guys, let's get to maybe the best game of yesterday. Yeah. How clutch is Justin Herbert? A wild back and forth between the Chargers and the Browns. Ended up being one of the best games of the day, like I was saying. Chargers came out 47-42 on top. Herbert had two touchdown passes, 30-plus yards downfield Sunday. That's significant because he was 1 of 4 with 0 touchdowns in those throws in the first 4 games. But how about Cleveland? The Browns scored 42 points, had 0 turnovers on Sunday. In doing so, they became the first NFL team in history to lose a game with 40-plus points and no turnovers. NFL teams' record in such games, 463-1-0. Talk about a tough loss for the Cleveland Browns. So, Marcus, we saw Baker Mayfield Yeah. He had another chance to win this one late, like we did in week one, right, against the Chiefs, and he came up short. Do you think what he is now is what it takes to be able to do that?
No.
Does he have what it takes?
No, not at all. Not what he is now. Not based on what we've seen the last two times with him trying to make a game-ending drive against Kansas City and throwing an interception and having a minute plus on the clock and not being able to move the ball down the field. Now, I know it's hard, and Cleveland was out of timeout. But if we're going to talk about Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns being Super Bowl contenders, yeah, which is where they should be, he's going to have to outduel the quarterback on the next sideline if he has the ball in his hand last. I hate the whole thing about you don't have to outplay the other quarterback. Yes, you do. Justin Herbert had to outplay him at the end of the game. We've right. seen Patrick Mahomes do it. We've seen Tom Brady do it. I'm talking about Super Bowl guys. I'm not right, talking about just having point. A good game right. in the regular season during regulation in the game. Crunch time is how you're defined when you're on championship contenders. And right now, Baker has not done enough as opposed to the guys on the other sideline. And that's the comparison now. He should want that. He should invite that.
I bet he does.
You want to be in those particular situations. Right. Now it's about him delivering. Because when I look at this team, Baker Mayfield is the one that's either going to hold them back or put them over the top.
Yeah.
I firmly believe
I think
that.
That's fair.
That's what
fair.
You have to deal with if you're the quarterback. Let's go to the other side of the ball, Mina, because how would you describe how Justin Herbert is playing right now?
The adjective I'm going with is unkillable at the moment. You can't kill the dude. I mean, yeah. it's third yeah. down, under pressure, send the house. That's when he shines. And last season, when he was Rookie of the Year, took everyone by surprise, he lived in third down. He thrived in third down. Is this the one, Allen? Yeah, oh, God. And under pressure. And that was actually a source of concern going forward, or pardon me, going into this season, because for quarterback play, performance on third down and under pressure tends to be unsustainable for reasons that you can imagine. It's a little bit more random, right, versus being in a clean pocket. It's been sustainable, yeah. to say the least. And the reason it's sustainable is that Justin Herbert has one of the most rare arm talents. Am I being over the top
no,
by saying
not.
That? He is making throws that, frankly, you do not see many quarterbacks in the NFL.
It's how we talked about Pat.
Yeah. It is how we talked
yeah.
about
like,
Pat. And I want to add one more thing. It's not all about Herbert. He plays with one of the best 1-2 punches at wide receiver
That's
in
for
the
sure.
NFL.
Good point. Honest question. I'm not trying to be, hyperbolic here. Is there a coach – Brandon Staley, their head coach, is there a coach who truly believes in their guy more than he does in Herbert right now?
John Harbaugh.
Saying
the way
right
John
now.
Harbaugh would be the other one.
Yeah,
those two.
You don't go for fourth and two on your own 26 with 10-23 in the third quarter to go.
I love it.
You just don't do that.
What does that do from the player perspective, though?
Well, when you're operating and you're executing, it definitely gives you this energy and this confidence, but you have to go and do it. Mm. They went for it three times just today on fourth down. So, yeah, they scored 49, but they don't unless they go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
But we've seen this over – it wasn't just yesterday. It was a couple weeks ago against the Chiefs. And it's when your coach has that unwavering belief that I'm going to go for it, my guy's going to get it, and if it's not the right play call, he'll make it right.
Yep.
The third and five to Keenan Allen, no one else is open. No one else is open. Keenan's not open. He just has to make
that is a perfectly covered ball.
Right. There's that saying, there's no such thing as good defense for the perfect throw.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the Chargers are ascending into that world where the Chiefs were two or three years ago.
But to your point, Dio, you said the whole thing. Staley right now is telling his guy, we no longer are going to preserve victories.
Yeah.
We're going win games.
And honestly, there's part of me that sits here and thinks, well, eventually
it'll catch up.
But I don't feel that way.
I don't feel that way either.
You know what I'm saying?
Because who's going to catch him, maybe?
Well,
just because of what they're doing.
I feel that they're going to be so aggressive on fourth downs, and he's going to constantly convert.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's going to catch up to
him. Look at the AFC, the competitors, Buffalo, Kansas City, Cleveland, Baltimore. Those are incredible offenses. He has to do that to keep up with those offenses.
Absolutely.
And you said earlier, we'll find out more about Baltimore tonight on Monday Night Football. They're going up against the Colts, so we feel like at least that could be a game where they're overmatched a little bit.
I love about Staley that he identified what the Chargers' issues was before he got there.
Right.
We're going to win games at the end of the game.
Okay, enjoy Monday Night Football tonight. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Hey, why didn't anyone pass to us?
I don't want
it. Give it to me.
I don't
Thank
want
you.
It.
I don't want it.
He doesn't want it.